In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God,
have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, the things we have done and the things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may
God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
O God, on this day you open the hearts of your faithful people by sending into us your Holy Spirit. Direct us by the light of that Spirit, that we may have a right judgment in all things and rejoice at all times in your peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
reading from Acts. When the day of Pentecost had come, the apostles were all together in one place, and suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the violent rush of wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as a fire, appeared to them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it we hear each other? How is it we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea, and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. How manifold are your works, O Lord! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There go the ships to and fro, and Leviathan, which you made for the sport of it. You give it to them, they gather it. You open your hand, and they are filled with good things. You send forth your Spirit, and they are created, and so you renew the face of the earth. You look at the earth and it trembles. You touch the mountains and they smoke. May these words of mine please God. I will rejoice in the Lord. A reading from 1 Corinthians. No one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophesy, to another the discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one Spirit, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In our society, we often hear the notion that the church is supposed to be countercultural. While all of us might agree with such a sentiment, that's going to look very different among Christians in our culture. In our gospel lesson, which you would have heard earlier in the Easter season, I believe we get a sense of what it means at its core to be countercultural as the church. And it starts with receiving God's peace. It doesn't start with drawing a firm line in the sand. It's not a call for a culture warrior to be ready to do battle behind a keyboard or anywhere else. It starts with receiving God's peace. In our gospel lesson from John, the disciples are afraid. They're so afraid that they've locked themselves away. And no matter where each of us gets our news, no matter where you fall on the ideological spectrum, we're told to be afraid, and we're also told who to be afraid of. The invitation and command of the world is to live in fear, to lock yourself away from your neighbor, to lock yourself away from the world. Yet as we celebrate the birthday of the church on the feast of Pentecost, how can we be a church that is locked away in fear? when we received our Lord's invitation and command to be at peace. On Pentecost, we see God doing a new thing for all people in the world. Unity and diversity are gifts and not obstacles to fellowship. The peace of Christ gives us the ability to bear witness to God's love and activity in the world. Fear keeps us locked away. Fear creates anxiety. Fear justifies hate and violence. But peace releases us from that. In the book of Genesis, there's a story of the Tower of Babel. People spoke a single language, decided to build a city with a tower that went to the heavens. And God, seeing their pride, hindered their communication with languages, and people divided into different groups. And some see that story as a commentary of the consequences of human pride. Yet in our first lesson from Acts of the Apostles, we see something new happening. The reverse is happening. The disciples can communicate with people speaking different languages, belonging to different cultures. God's calling us to come together when we witness to God's loving activity in the world. So who do we receive our invitations and commands from? Is it the world? Is it about our success? Is it about our glory? Or are we following God's invitation and command that does not call ourselves to be gods in the world, but to be like God in embodying of love that unifies, that overcomes fear with peace, forgiveness, and love? God is giving us direction as the church, as the body of Christ in the world. Yet the foundation of our navigational unit, so to speak, is the peace of Christ. Now, to be clear, there are rational reasons why we have doors, right? Why we have locks on those doors. Why even in today's world there might be a doorbell camera or security cameras on one's property. The world can be a dangerous place. And there are times during the day where we want to have an extra layer of security. But there are people whose vocation is to work and to serve others while we sleep, confronting often the byproducts of a dangerous world. Those people in vocations like law enforcement or firefighters, EMTs, medical professionals, all who answer the call to protect and care for us. So it's not that fear itself is irrational. It's where our fear is placed. It's a misplaced fear that we have. To think that only sin and evil can reside out there in the world, as if it could not also exist in our very homes that we've locked ourselves away in. As if it couldn't reside in the very being that we see when we look in the mirror. That fear can only be out there. It couldn't also be in here. Evil, darkness, brokenness. This is where the peace and forgiveness of Christ releases us from our fear, releases us from our shame, releases us from our brokenness, and unleashes us into a world to bring heaven to earth. Even when we try to put ourselves in a box, to lock ourselves away, the good news about the story that we hear in John's Gospel is that the peace of Christ will find us even in our attempts to lock ourselves in. Through locked doors, the crucified and risen Christ finds the disciples and says, "Peace be with you." Peace finds us. As the crucified and risen Christ finds those disciples and invites them to receive God's peace, the church continues to gather and encounters that very crucified and risen Jesus that finds us. Now, even today, people assume that God is about wrath and judgment. Probably because there are people that claim to be Christian that say God is about wrath and judgment, right? That's probably part of it. But in Christ, we have a God who finds us. We have a God who offers us peace. The good news is that the peace of Christ heals our fear. There are many that are afraid that they just don't measure up to the standards of our world. There are many that are afraid that they don't measure up to God's standards, filled with shame and fear of not living up to that ideal, whether it's set by religious authorities or the world that we live in. To add a Lutheran emphasis, that's all law. We're asking people to live up to a law that's unrealistic, that can never be fulfilled. And when it's all law, whether secular or religious, it becomes a proclamation of law that makes it about the measuring sticks, that makes it about people feeling ashamed for not living up to it. So while we feel our sense of shame by not measuring up, on top of all that, we see violence in the world. We feel that we aren't enough, and then on top of that, we feel like we can't do enough in a world that just seems lost. But in John's gospel, Jesus appearing to the disciples in the locked room speaks volumes. The crucified and risen Christ shows the disciples his wounds, and that speaks volumes to the fear and the shame that we hold on to the fear and the shame that paralyzes us. They see the wounds of the crucified and risen Jesus, and it reminds them and us our failure in how we do not live up to following the way of God. It points us to the faithfulness of Christ, though. It points us to good news, that the faithfulness of Christ is what saves us. In those wounds, we see that we cannot save ourselves. We cannot follow any law, whether it be from this world or from religious authorities, perfectly. We cannot live up to other people's expectations. Yet in those wounds, we see that we are healed. And also in those wounds, we are reminded of the violence and evil of this world, where even the innocent can be convicted and executed. And in those wounds of Christ, all that fear, pain, and anguish can be communicated to those disciples and to us today. We see freedom in those wounds. We see love in those wounds. We see mercy in those wounds. And then Jesus, after showing him those wounds, says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Jesus breathes on them. We could go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, where God breathed the breath of life into the man, the human being, and he became a living being. And as we celebrate the birthday of the church, we're reminded that we are a new creation. Jesus is inviting us to live into this new creation, breathing new life into us through the Holy Spirit, that we can go out into a dark and broken world, not with rose-colored glasses, but through the eyes of our crucified and risen Lord, that gives us peace that surpasses all understanding. That it is the Holy Spirit that lights our path as we follow the way of Jesus. We can see the world for what it is, and answer the call and the invitation to offer others that peace that we've received from Jesus. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability to hear and receive this good news. We're released and freed from the idea that we don't have to live under of this world that fills us with fear, but under the authority of Jesus, which gives us peace, mercy, and forgiveness. Mercy and forgiveness and peace that liberates us, that calls us to be with those who are afraid in this world, that they too might be freed from that paralyzing fear and come into the communion of the church, where they can experience a God that finds them, loves them, and welcomes them home. That forgiveness and even the retention of sins is a reminder of God's justice to call all people to reconciliation with the living God, and that more and more people would experience that reconciliation in the world today. No longer are we paralyzed by the fear and obstacles of our world, because Christ has done and is doing a new thing. Violence, hate, shame, and death, just to name a few, are all overcome by Jesus, the Jesus who finds us. He overcomes violence with peace, hate with love, shame with forgiveness and reconciliation, and an assurance that there's always a place for you at God's table, that God will always be at home and make a home with you. And in the face of death, he overcomes that with life, and we are joined to him. We receive this new life. where the peace of Christ will always find us, where the peace of Christ will always heal us, where the peace of Christ will always light our way, and we are joined to this new life in Christ as a new creation, as God's holy church, to offer a breath of fresh air to a hurting world, struggling to breathe in new life. And that breath of fresh air is the liberating peace of Jesus that is with us now and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.
passion and God. You sent your Spirit through the gifts of fire, wind, and word. As you equip the disciples for their work, equip us to bring the good news to all those who long for you. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is faithful.
We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor, and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Restoring God, wind and flame bring life throughout the world. We pray for those who work for protection of lands facing destructive fire, for forestry managers and firefighters. Renew the face of the earth. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Ever-present God, your Spirit embraces all. Send your Spirit of understanding to immigrants, refugees, and any experiencing language barriers. Bless the work of translators, ESL teachers, ambassadors, and international peace organizations. Safely guide those fleeing war and danger. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Merciful God, you anoint us with your Spirit. Bless nurses, doctors, midwives, chaplains, counselors, and hospice workers as they care for those in need. We pray for all who seek your comfort, especially Charlie, Justin, Tracy, Mike, the family of Ann Barry, Donna, Joellen, Carol, Mary, Pat, Dixon, Pat, Charlie, Debbie, Candace, Cheryl, Doug, Barb, Audrey, Jerry, Phyllis, Dave, Marcus, Ella, Cheryl, Rick, Janet, Lucas, John, Art, Kelly, Diane, Carol, and our hometown. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Generous God, you impart a variety of gifts, set aflame the desire to learn from one another, especially those who differ from us. Make your presence known through missionaries, peace workers, and through the outreach ministries of our synod and community. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Life-giving God, we give thanks for those who have died to new life in you. As we observe Memorial Day, we remember those who died in military service. Comfort all who mourn and usher in a world where war is no more. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Rejoicing in the victory of Christ's resurrection, we lift our prayers and praise to you, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share with one another.
Living God, you gathered the wolf and the lamb to be together in your peaceful reign, and you welcome us all at your table. Reach out to us through this meal and show us your wounded and risen body, that we may be nourished and believe in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is indeed right,
our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Fulfilling the promise of the resurrection, you pour out the fire of your Spirit, uniting in one body people of every nation and tongue. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter, and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. O God most mighty, O God most merciful, O God our rock and our salvation, hear us as we praise. Call us to your table. Grant us your life. When the earth was a formless void, you formed order and beauty. When Abraham and Sarah were barren, you sent them a child. When the Israelites were enslaved, you led them to freedom. Ruth faced starvation, David fought Goliath, and the psalmist cried out for healing. And full of compassion, you granted the people your life. You entered our sorrows in Jesus, our brother. He was born among the poor. He lived under oppression. He wept over the city. With infinite love, he granted the people your life. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering his death, we cry out, "Amen!"
Amen.
Celebrating his resurrection, we shout, "Amen!"
Amen.
Trusting his presence in every time and place, we plead, "Amen." God, you are breath. Send your spirit on this meal. O God, you are bread. Feed us with yourself. O God, you are wine. Warm our hearts and make us one. O God, you are fire. Transform us with hope. O God, most majestic. O God, most motherly. O God, our strength and our song. You show us a vision of a tree of life with fruits for all and leaves that heal the nations. Grant us such life, the life of the Father, to the Son, the life of the Spirit of our risen Savior, life in you, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom,
the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The risen Christ dwells with us here. All who are hungry, all who are thirsty, You may be seated. This time I'd like to invite forward anybody helping with the distribution of the sacrament and those participating in Children's Church. We will distribute the sacrament continuously. I'll be in the center aisle of the trays of glass cups. An usher will release you forward. We'll have two stations for consecrated wine and one station for grape juice that will be on the lectern side. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you.
Thank you.
You have been filled with the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go, tell the whole world of his love. This time I'd like to, you may be seated. I'll invite forward those who are graduating high school that are with us in attendance to come forward. And I believe, Linda Ruhrman, are you going to be spokesperson? You want to face the congregation? What's that? I'll conclude the prayer if you want to. I don't want to steal your thunder here.
Oh, yeah. And I would simply like to say at this point that all of us are very happy for all of you, and we just wish you the best in whatever you have choices to come, and the gifts that we give to you, I hopefully you will take all of us with you in your thoughts, and we're all praying for you. And our other gift to you is your choice of one of the quilts that has been made by the peacemakers. That hopefully keeps you warm in whatever situation you're going to be in. And you may come up afterwards and take a look at them very carefully and choose whichever one you would like. So with our blessing, congratulations, and we just wish you best. God's peace be with you.
Do you guys want to share a little bit of what's next?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yep.
I'm going to be attending Baltimore University up in Berea and pursuit of a sports management media production major.
I'm going to serve for medical assisting, and then, just going to work for
you. There you go. All right. Well, let's offer a prayer for Ryan Morgan and all those who are graduating. Let us pray. God of all good gifts, your Son gathered children into his arms and blessed them. Help us to understand our youth as they grow in years and in knowledge of your world. Give us compassion when they face temptations and experience failures. Teach us to encourage their search for truth and value in their lives. Help us to appreciate their ideals and sympathize with their frustrations, that with them we may look for a better world than either we or they have known. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go in peace. Blessings to you guys. Blessings. Yeah. As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. Please rise for the final benediction. Getting a little bit of a workout here, I know, in the last few minutes here. God, the author of life, Christ, the living cornerstone, and the life-giving spirit of adoption, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Alleluia.
Go in peace. Tell what God has done.
Thanks be to God.